Hi, it's Tom Panos here with me, Tim Foote. Tim is a special guy. He has just been ranked number one real estate agent, the REB Awards, all of Australia, number one. In addition to that, Tim Foote has been for the last eight out of 11 years, is that right?
Yeah.
Number one for Bill. Writes 3 million plus in GCI. Owns Mossman and...
is a part owner in Neutral Bay.
And a part owner of Neutral Bay. Okay, two partners there, but owns Mossman totally. Welcome, Tim. Hey, so, man, you've got a lot going on in your life. You've got 4 kids.
Yep.
Under 10.
Yep.
You've got 2 businesses, but in addition to that, you don't just sit behind the chair and tell everyone, go out and list property. You're writing big numbers.
Yeah, I spend the majority of my time listing and selling.
Tim, how do you do it? I mean, that to me, like a salesperson sitting there that does nothing in their life except list and sell real estate, that's 25, 26, that's got no wife, no kids, will be thinking, how does that all work out?
I suppose I spend a fair bit of time stopping and mapping out how to do stuff. And so in mapping out how to do things, it makes things more efficient, which means you can do more.
Okay. Mapping, you plan a lot?
Yeah, I do. I spend a day a month where I'll go away from the office, I'll spend a day out of the office, and I'll review what's happened in the previous month, and I'll sort of set out the plan for the coming month based on what my goals are.
Are you naturally organised?
I think I've become organised. I wouldn't say it's my natural personality.
Right. How long have you been in real estate?
2001, so 13 years.
13 years.
Yeah.
What were you doing before real estate?
I'm an architect by education. I worked for Lendlease in their graduate program in their kind of property development space. And then I did a year of study, and out of that got into real estate.
Okay. Was real estate on your shopping list as a job earlier on?
Not at all.
No.
It was not even in my thinking, full stop.
Okay. How did it come about? How did you...
So, a mate of mine who I'd gone to school with had set up the Bell Property Group.
Yeah.
And I was just finished, I was in the throes of doing some study, and I was looking to start a property development company. And so I was saying to him, look, I know a bit about architecture, I know a bit about construction, there's lots of things I don't know, you know, what would you recommend my next step would be in terms of getting into property development? And he said, you should think about being a real estate agent. And I was like, you're kidding. And anyway, I stopped and thought about it, and it made strange sense. And so I got into real estate and fell in love with it. You know, I love it as an industry, I love it as a business, and that's why I'm doing it today and loving doing what I'm doing.
Architecture and real estate are very different, isn't it? I mean, real estate is very people-oriented.
Yep.
Architecture is not as people-oriented. Were you always natural with people? I mean, right through school and uni, were you the type that things just flowed when you got on with people?
Oh, I wouldn't say I'm the super-duper social type. I think I like people, but I wouldn't say I'm the natural magnet for people. And I actually think... in real estate, being good with people is important, but just being good with people is not enough. There's a whole bunch of disciplines that when I look at the best agents around, you look at them, and sure, they're great with people, but there's a lot more to them than just being good with people.
Okay, now I'm really interested because there's people sitting there watching this on their iPhone, on their iPad, on their laptop, and Tim, there's 60,000 agents in Australia and New Zealand, but very few of the 60,000 smash it. Very few people write the money that you write.
Yeah.
Not even, very few people would write a portion of what you write. And there you are, they're thinking to themselves, what is it that makes him so good? So I'd love to get into your headspace. What do you think makes you to be so successful that you're able to write the commission that you write?
That's a good question. I think there's a few things. I think one is mapping out what success looks like. So what does that mean? For me, if I didn't have a bigger goal, writing a lesser number would be great, and I'd plateau and I'd stop at that. But because I've got a big goal, that's what leads me to continue to focus on how to get to that goal rather than go, okay, let's settle at this level, whatever that level might be for me and for others.
Okay. You've said that very, very well, and I'm going to repeat it. In my words, the size of your goal affects what you actually do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so one of the things you're saying is that you've got bigger clarity and a more compelling goal than maybe others, and maybe that's why you're successful?
I think for all of us, there's nothing special about me at all, full stop. I think it is, there are some things that I've learned from others that I've put into practice that that reap rewards or, you know, bear dividends.
Goal is one. Can
goal
I ask
one? Yep.
Others?
I think so. Goal is one. I've read that Good to Great book by Jim Collins, and he talks about having a culture of discipline, a culture of accountability. And so having a sense of, yeah, it's great to have a goal, this is where we want to go, that's awesome. Most of us can set a goal, depending on the size, but most of us can say this is where we want to go. It's then to go, okay, what are the steps to get there? And I think most of us can do that, but it's then, okay, keeping myself accountable, not just to myself, but to other people, to ensure that I take the steps to get there. Because guess what? I take steps that are the wrong steps, I take steps backwards, but if I've got people around me who help me get to that goal, they'll get me back on track. If I'm willing to let them, and they'll help me when I've stuffed up and gone backwards.
Right. Okay. So being goal directed, accountability, having people that keep you on track,
yep,
and people that when you're off track can have that crucial conversation and say, Tim, mate, that's not what we've mapped out here.
Totally.
Other things that you think make you successful?
I think I'm pretty focused. So, for example, I was talking to our team about it this morning about, so you write down a goal. When you write down a goal, it actually makes life a lot simpler rather than more complicated, because you go, that's everything else that's not on track to get that goal. And this is talking specifically about business.
Yeah.
You kind of don't do. And so I'm pretty good at focusing, going, okay, that's where I want to go, and these are the steps to get there. Doesn't mean I don't make mistakes, but I stay focused on where I want to go and what I need to do to get there.
Okay, so what you're saying is when you're focused and you've got a goal and there's purpose, you're able to work out your not-to-do list.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Tim, do you work hard?
I intentionally work a set number of hours. So I try and work about 50 hours a week. I've got a wife and four kids. And a long time ago, I set out a map of what success looks like to me. And success isn't just about being a great real estate agent or making a lot of money. There's sort of seven areas in my world that I mapped out that I want to have success in. And critical ones are my marriage and my relationship with my kids. So
you've been married once?
I've been married once.
Yeah.
We've been married similar time that I've been in real estate. It's our 12th wedding anniversary this December. So
let's talk about those. Can I talk about those seven areas? Because yeah, before we sat down, you showed me something on your iPad, just a snapshot, and I found it really interesting because what you were doing is your audio was matching your video. You said to me, real estate's not everything. There are other things that are important in, you know, Tim Foote's life.
Yep.
Real estate, what do you call that? Business, money?
Financial. Yeah. So I suppose the seven areas for me are, and these are in order. So first priority is my spiritual world. Second priority is my marriage. Third priority is my kids. Fourth priority is my financial world, real estate. Fifth priority is my church leadership. Sixth priority, actually I've missed one. Fourth priority is my health,
right,
my well-being. So then step those down, and then seventh is family and friends, so extended family and close friends.
Okay, so spiritual, church, family, health, money you see as being something that allows you to do all those things. Pretty much what you're saying is there's no point being like 10 out of 10 in one area if the rest of it's crumbling apart around. And I can't. How do you work on that sort of stuff? Is it just being aware of it, or do you how do you stay on top of those seven areas?
Yeah, good question. So kind of the seven areas is a bit of a big dream. You know, it's easy to say those things, But then to make them happen, it's like, okay, what does success look like? And I write a statement of what success looks like. And then I go, okay, how do I achieve that? I go, okay, what are the actions that need to lead to that? So for example, think about my marriage. I know that if I'm home 4 or 5 nights a week and I spend good time with my wife, that's a big step in terms of our marriage being successful. Likewise, if I spend a certain amount of time with kids, so I will then have specific measures for each part of my world, and then I'll, in the last few months, I've actually started to measure it weekly and go, okay, there's most probably 25 measures across those 7 things. Example, my dad's 83,
yeah.
I want to have lunch with him once every 4 weeks. So I measure that.
So that would be under family?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, this is beginning to make sense. So in each of those 7 areas, there's various KPIs that you say, I can do these things. And then what you're saying is, instead of just thinking about it, what you schedule gets done, what you measure you can manage,
yep.
And you actually sit there and treat it a bit like a budget versus actual. You say that, you know, this thing I've got to do. So that sort of makes sense. A lot of people, like, what, you know, I think what you've done, Tim, is you've gone from wanting it to actioning it, you know, which I think everyone wants that. Everything that you just talked about there, I think everyone wants to be healthy. Everyone wants to be fit. Everyone wants to have money. Everyone wants to, you know, have a great relationship. Everyone wants to have amazing health, you know. Everyone wants to feel like there's a purpose in your life and that, you know, you're here for a reason, and then when you leave here, there's something, you know, that's going to happen after. People want to have that belief there. Yep. And what you're saying is work harder on yourself than necessarily the job, because you are the job in many ways, you know.
Yep.
Is this come natural, Tim? I mean, who put you on this path?
Good question. No, it doesn't come natural. Funnily enough, when I started to go to church and getting into real estate happened about the same time. And the church that I went to was very much around, you know, what does, you know, if you don't see, if you haven't got a vision, people perish. It's a scripture in the Bible. So it's about being prepared to lift up your eyes and go, okay, well, what's the vision look like? What do I want life to look like? Rather, as opposed to just living. So I was very much just living, doing whatever. And so I started doing it then, and I learned, I'd write it out New Year's Eve, write it out, isn't this great? And then I wouldn't look at it for 12 months until next Year's Eve. And then I pull it out and I go, oh. And I go, oh, stuff. I didn't achieve half those things. And then after doing it a few years, I realized when I looked back at the list, they generally took place, but they took place in 2 years rather than 1 year. And so then I started to get more intentional about it. And the more intentional I got about it, the quicker they happened. So it's kind of a refined thing in terms of ability to think and vision and dream didn't come naturally, but I learned it. And then I've learned and am learning how to refine that to make it happen more regularly.
Okay. Well, I think there's a lot of people watching this have broken New Year's resolutions. They've joined fitness. Yeah, we all have. We've all joined Fitness First on January the 2nd. We've all said no junk food. We've all said we're going to write, $1 million. I mean, you're doing significantly more than most agents do in this country or New Zealand. But you've basically, you know, Tim, to me, what I find inspiring is that you say you've been there. You've been down that path. You've been the person that set resolutions, broken them, but you've, you know, worked on intentionally looking at how to make things happen and execute them. And the word that you use is be more intentional.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's that mean to you?
So it means not being afraid to put in writing, make real your desire for something. So be prepared to dream. So that's the first part of intentionalizing it. And then the second part is not beating myself up when I'm off track. So a lot of time in the past, I'd go, this is where I'm going, and then you get off track, and it's like, stuff that didn't work, and you throw it out.
Okay, what do you do when you get off track now?
I realize, well, it's a good point, what do I do? I firstly acknowledge that I've either stuffed up or I'm off track. And then I think about, okay, I know what needs to happen to get there. So I just go back and do the basics, you know, simple stuff about sales revenue. I know that if I make X number of prospecting calls a week, it will lead to sales in time. And so I then have to work out how to get back and do those simple things.
Are you a cold prospector? Do you do a lot of cold prospecting? Or, I mean, does Tim Foote attract people to him now?
Oh, I've learned that you can't let success get you ahead of reality. Reality is that I need to hunt for business. Sure, people call me, but I have to have the mentality that I'm looking for business all the time. And so that sense of being a hunter or a prospector, I'm more structured about it, and I might probably work out how to leverage it more. But I've got, for example, I allow 2 hours a day where I'm on the phones talking to people looking for business. And funnily enough, often in those times, people will call me. But you could go, well, if you stop, would they keep on calling? I think I've heard you talk about the laws of attraction, that activity breeds activity. I've done sales where the only reason that sale happened was because I happened to be talking to someone and connected the dots that then linked to a sale. So do I do a lot of cold calling? My team certainly does, and I'm a big believer in it. Do I do some of it? Absolutely. I think it's good that you lead from the front. But I suppose I spend the majority of my time dealing with people who are warmer, even though you got to start something.
Biggest source of listing presentations in your life in the last 12 months, how do you get into more doors? Is it, I mean, you run an attraction business? I mean, you'd have a lot of listings and a lot of marketing with those listings,
yep.
Where I could only imagine you meet a lot of future vendors.
Yep.
Is that the main source?
So absolutely, we send things out to attract people back to us, but I've learned that I've got to still then go and chase. It's a little bit like a business card.
Right.
You give someone a business card so they know who you are,
right.
But you still got to have the conversation.
Right.
So for example, we'll send out some material into our marketplace, but we get maximum attraction when we follow that up with phone calls.
Right.
So it's a combination of
right.
People becoming aware of us, being an attraction agent, but working
back. Right. You did a wonderful talk, which I wasn't there to see, but I got great feedback at the Ideas Exchange, where I think, you know, you talked about some of the biggest business lessons you learned. And why don't you want to spend the rest of our conversation today, as I look at the time, because I know that every agent's got ADD. I'm mindful, I've learned that.
You're a smart man.
Yeah. So what I wanted to ask you, Tim, is what are the three biggest tips you can give? I can tell you're a nice person, and I can tell that you love to know that there's some young kid out there right now, a young guy or girl with a pen or paper that really wants to make a go of real estate. That could be in, you know, New Zealand, that could be in Queensland, that could even be in Mossman, right? What are three tips that you'd give these people to succeed in real estate, Tim?
Yeah, good question. I reckon thinking about that person who wants to make it happen, I think the thing I learned going back to when I started is I didn't believe in myself enough. And not to say you get full of yourself, but I've learned that if you do what you need to do, you will get the results that you hope to get. So the simple statement would be believe in yourself and believe in the process. That would be the first thing that I'd say for someone who really wants to make it. You know, all the markets that we work in, all of us think they're ultra competitive and ultra hard, and they are. But I've learned that whatever market, people respect performance and people respect someone who's doing the right things in terms of activity. So believe in yourself, believe in the process. The second thing I would say for that person would be develop your prospecting muscle. Like, if you're starting out and you...
I love that term, prospecting muscle. I love that. That's it. So what you're saying is, the more you do it, the bigger you can get.
Totally. So it doesn't matter where you start. I remember when I first started, and I thought I was going to go down the tube, and a mate of mine who was a finance broker, he said, mate, just make sure you talk to 20 people a day. That's all you got to do. And I do more than that now, but that was a great first step to start the process. So understand it doesn't matter how good you get, to have that mindset of I'm always looking for business, I'm always looking for opportunities. That's how you harvest the opportunities, by having eyes to see.
Right.
So the second thing would be develop your prospecting muscle. I suppose the third thing would be a bigger picture, and most probably doesn't relate so well when you're starting out, but on the basis that you do succeed, it becomes a real issue. I've burnt out a number of times.
Right.
Because I got too stressed, I was working too hard, and so I've learned that there's a pace to life, and there's a pace to success, and that you truly can have success in multiple areas of your world. Doesn't mean that if you have financial success, everything else goes to tatters. So as I say, it may not be that relevant when you start, but keep it in the back of your mind when you do succeed. The way that you maintain success is work out how to do it in an enjoyable way, work out how to have fun along the journey, and work out so that you've got success in more than just real estate. Because the reality is, in real estate, we can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Making a lot of money doesn't make you happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like the fact that you're basically saying to me, you don't want to necessarily be the richest man in Rookwood Cemetery.
Yep.
You don't want to be the $3 million agent having custody battles in court. On the same token, it can go the other way around, where you know you're having a lot of fun and you know family time is good, but financial pressures are happening because your business life's not great.
Totally. And I don't get it right. I'm not going to present myself as having it all right. I think all of us are, you know, on the journey, but a thing for me that I have to get in my head is it's actually possible, rather than you have this niggling thought in the back of your mind of, oh, no, it's not possible, you can't be that good. And as I say, I'm not saying I've got it all right, but I think you truly can achieve success in the areas of the world you choose.
Okay. I just, on that point, I want to make a big point of it, because I do these videos every week and, you know, I speak at various conferences and that. And I can tell you, at the end of the day, people can show you what to do, how to do it. They'll give you all the dialogue, the language. They'll give you techniques. Every system works if people stick to the system. But there's something that Tim has said there, to me, is the intrinsic part of success. And that is that there comes a time when someone actually truly believes versus say they believe. You know what I mean? Because when you actually believe, you behave and act in that way. It's no longer... I've got to pretend that it's who you are, you know? And I reckon that until you have that self-belief, you will always walk in meeting people and be a little bit desperate and needy, you know?
Yeah.
And when you've got that belief, people can feel that you feel good about yourself, they feel good about you, you know?
Okay.
Tim, biggest business lessons learned?
Good question. Biggest business lessons learnt. What springs to mind, I read something recently about Andrew Carnegie, and he wanted written on his tombstone that here lies a man who has surrounded himself with people better than him, something along those lines. And I think the biggest lesson that I've learnt is to be able to grow something sustainably, whether it's your own sales production or whether it's a sales business or whatever, surround yourself with great people and pay them well.
Okay. Tim, we're privileged to have you in here. The people out there, I'm sure they want to shake your hand right now. You are the number one agent real estate business online for the year in all of Australia. You're the number one Bell agent, 8 out of 11 years. You're a fantastic role model. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for putting these on. I think it's pretty material to inspire people in the marketplace. So, well done.
Thank you, Chief.